Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about the show. We are going to talk about using webinars to generate a massive profit with our guest, John Schumacher. John is a webinar specialist and consultant who helps people double their webinar profits. John has helped his clients earn hundreds of thousands of dollars in product launches and webinar sales. He's also the founder of the Webinar Mastery Academy and was the co-host of the Webinar Mastery Summit, the largest online webinar conference of 2016. And now it is my pleasure to welcome John to the show.
Oof, that's a great introduction, Mark. I appreciate you having me and appreciate you thinking of me to talk on this topic.
Thank you, John. One of the things I like to ask all of my guests is I like to ask them, like, what got them started on this particular path? So for you, I want to ask you, how did you first come across webinars?
Yeah, so I was doing webinars for content back in 2013, back when Google Hangouts on Air was still relatively new. I was actually using webinars not as a selling tool, but as a interview style tool, similar to what we're doing right now. I would bring on one or sometimes multiple guests and have a live video discussion with them. And that's really how I got started with live video and just learned the technology and really saw what it could do for me and my brand. And then just decided that, you know what, this is something other people need to learn about. It's still, especially with the live video kind of being on the newer end then, it was something I wanted to go all in with. And that's when I started doing webinars, was just using them as content, interview content.
And ever since that humble start, you have done something that very few people are able to do. Within the past 2 years, you've done over 200 live webinars and published 600 videos. How did you commit yourself to that much action? Because that is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, well, it's closer to 300 and over 1,000 videos now. It's really, I think the key word is motivation. You have to have the fuel in the tank, so to speak, to continue to do that year after year, or even just month after month to start with. I know we all like to start things and stop things. So it was just consistent action. And I think the other piece is just being organized. You know, I have a system, a simple system that works for me to consistently keep me taking action every week, every day. You know, I have my entire day in front of me written out before the day even starts. And so it's a combination, I think, of that juice, that motivation to really do it every single day. And coupling that with a plan of action and a written plan, if you can, to get you there. And that's just kind of what I've followed, a simple approach, nothing sexy. You know, just keep kind of doing this 1,000-mile march towards growing and making it happen.
May we briefly go back to the simple system that you have? Can you provide some insights as to what this system entails?
Yeah, I'm not like an Evernote user or anything like that. It's basically just, you know, a whiteboard, piece of paper. I have Google Calendar. I use Calendly for my scheduling software. So if someone wants to you know, set up a call or an interview like this one, I'll just give them my link. They can find a spot. I do my calls on Tuesdays and Fridays, and the rest of the days are for projects. So I have my theme my days as well. So Tuesday and Fridays are like anything where I have to talk to somebody like outside, like a time-based event, like a podcast interview or coaching session. You know, those are Tuesday and Fridays. The other days, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday are for more project-based things. So I focus on my number one priority for that day on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. Everything's on paper, and I just kind of keep going with it. It's simple, but it works for me.
I love the fact that you batch all of this into just Tuesday and Friday so you can focus on other things. Another guest on the show recently said something to a similar effect, but one thing I understand with webinars is that they take a lot of preparation. And I've heard of some webinars, they're over 100 slides long. So how do you prepare for each webinar?
Yeah, so I think the thing is you don't have to redo them a lot. I think people think that they need to redo your webinar a million times. It does take some time to build the initial slides. And yes, for a 60-minute presentation, it's not a bad idea to have over 100 slides just so you can keep the slides moving. But I think the key thing is not just to create new webinar after new webinar. It's to create a solid webinar and then market that webinar, you know, through partnerships, through paid media, through your own, you know, web traffic and your own list and those things. And continue to build each webinar as an asset, not just like a redoing of a webinar constantly. So that's one thing as far as preparing. You don't need a lot of text or, you know, anything like that on your slides as well. So what I'll usually do to create a new slide deck is I'll create an outline in Google Documents, and then I'll just kind of transfer my thoughts from there onto the slides themselves, which kind of speeds up the process. I guess, is that what you mean as far as how to prepare for a webinar? I mean, I can talk about preparation tips as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You did a great job at basically saying how you prepare, just coming up with all the slides and not making all these massive changes for each webinar, but sticking with the method that works instead of, I mean, don't try to fix something that isn't broken.
Yeah, I mean, you'll need to get new traffic in front of new attendees in front of your webinars. You can't run the same webinar to the same group of people forever, of course. But I think a lot of times people feel like they just, you know, once they do it once, they have to you know, scrap that webinar and start completely over. When they should be doing is trying to leverage that same webinar in a few different audiences in a few different places.
Now, we've been skating on the topic of building an audience. We've been talking about it a little here and there, but now I want to bring that to the focal point, the front. And I'm wondering, how do you attract attendees to your webinar?
Yeah, there's really only three ways to do it. I call them the three P's of webinar traffic, and that's personal, partner, and paid. So personal, partner, and paid. Personal is things like your mailing list, your social media. I'm a big fan of having a Facebook group. I think that could be it's a great source for people to tap into if they're not building a tribe there. And your website traffic can be another source too. So that's your personal assets. Generally, email is usually the strongest as far as getting people to sign up. If you don't have an email list, which a lot of people who are on the newer end don't, I do recommend starting some kind of a Facebook group or putting out some kind of content on a consistent basis to start building a little bit of a tribe. The other one's partner traffic. So that's your joint venturing. What a partner is basically is people in or around your industry who aren't direct competitors, but that already have an audience of people that would be ideal for you. And this is one of the ways that I have grown the most to date has been through partnerships, both with my summits and my webinars. And so that can be a great way for many people who are just starting out, even not too far down the road after they've practiced their initial webinar, to start looking to do is to building relationships and partnerships. And then the last one is paid media. So paid media like Facebook or Google or those type of things, which for most people who are starting out, they should probably veer away from a little bit in most industries because they just don't really know what they're doing in that space. But paid media is a great way to grow and scale. And if you are at a point where let's say you're making 100 grand and you want to get to a million, you're not going to really get there without consistent lead generation. So paid media is usually that third leg that comes, but not always in the beginning.
Those are some great methods for getting attendees to the webinar. I know we'll definitely be talking about joint ventures later on, but when you get people into the webinar, the intention is to provide them with a lot of value and then get them to buy a product that you offer at the very end. So how exactly do you increase the likelihood of attendees buying the product that you offer towards the end of your webinar?
Yeah, and there's a few different ways you can host it. I mean, that what you just described is sort of the classic sales webinar model. I mean, you can do other models as well, like paid webinars with more of a training on the end with a soft offer. There's other models, but let's just say, the one that you were talking about there. So as far as like sales conversion, and you got to think of a webinar not as an event, it's a campaign. It's not just a single thing. It's what happens before the webinar, during the webinar, and after the webinar. And so to maximize your sales, you need to look at first what I call the big three. And that's your offer, your presentation, and your follow-up. And as much as 70% of sales or more sometimes come in the follow-up. It's not what happens on the webinar. It's what happens after the webinar with some kind of an offer. And so that's one of the biggest tips for most people on here, that you're probably not following up very effectively. You're probably not structuring your offer effectively and not following up with that structured offer effectively after the webinar. And you're literally losing over half your sales. The offer itself obviously is key, right? No one really cares that you're hosting a webinar. They just have a problem they want addressed, and your offer needs to do that. It needs to be clear. It needs to have a big idea statement. It needs to have strong, you know, offer type of pieces, like a power guarantee. It needs to have, you know, strong benefits. It needs to have several of these pieces, you know, pricing, you know, all these things that matter to make your offer really jump. And then the presentation itself, of course, is important, how you structure that. You know, I usually have the classic kind of introduction, which is usually 10 minutes, content, which is around 30 minutes, and an offer section, which tends to be around 20 minutes or so. And then as much as an hour or more of Q&A. Most people, a lot of people buy in the Q&A section after they've had a chance to ask questions. As far as the teaching on the webinar itself, I would focus not on just teaching an ABC process, but either teaching one piece of your puzzle, so to speak, in depth, and then stretching the gap to your offer, which is going to help them with the other pieces, or addressing objections on your webinar, maybe three main objections that you're going to quote unquote teach away a little bit in order to get people to see themselves doing what you're teaching and what you're ultimately going to be selling, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of great sense. I love how you mentioned the follow-up, because now I remember where I was attending a webinar. I didn't buy the product, and I only bought the product after I followed up with the person. I mean, after the person followed up with me. So that is definitely a very valuable point you bring up. And another valuable point you brought up earlier was you're talking about focusing on your best webinars. And the main way you do that, obviously, is to make your webinar evergreen. So how do you make your webinars evergreen so that they continuously bring in revenue many days, weeks, months, or even years after you've actually done the webinar?
Yeah, so I really do love evergreen webinars. I think they're a great way to grow. This is something I'm only doing more and more of these days. It's wonderful having your best presentation running 24/7, 365. Now, here's a word of caution. I would not fake like they're live. I know a lot of people do that out there, or it's like a don't ask, don't tell policy. I don't agree with that. I think that you should be upfront with people. Tell them, I usually call it an on-demand workshop. So I tell people up front that it's not going to be live. I have not seen that hurt my numbers terribly bad. And I would gladly take a little hit in numbers to build a long-term relationship. So that's one piece. But the other one is, you know, when do you do it? I usually like to have people run it live first, a couple times at least, and then they can automate it. If they had good success on it, then they can look to automate it and go from there. Some of the tools you can use, you just need a separate software than a live webinar software. Easy Webinar is one of them out on the market that's a good software. Ever Webinar is another one, and Stealth Seminar. Both of those are, all those are, have the evergreen webinar potential. So you do need a piece of software that can, has the potential to run evergreen, have people choose multiple times and time zones and everything there. And then, so basically you'll just need that, and you'll need some kind of email autoresponder. I use ActiveCampaign. You can use Infusionsoft, you can use Entreport, you can use, I guess you could use Drip, or, you know, some of these other ones that are on the market as well. And then some way to take payment, which is I'm using Stripe and PayPal right now with Samcart. You could use something else with that. That's fine. And having something like Deadline Funnel is another nice tool to have, so that you can make your email follow-up evergreen. So otherwise, if you have a four-day follow-up after your evergreen webinar and there's no way for your systems to redirect them to a new page, then you're really, they could go back at any time and look at that page. So it's not really authentic scarcity, so to speak. So those are some of the tools you can use. I would recommend people do it live first, and just to get a feel for the audience, get feedback, then re-record it and make it evergreen.
Thank you for providing us with all those tools that we can use for different stages with the webinar. I just want to double check here. Which software do you use to host the webinar and turn it into an evergreen?
Yeah, so I'm in a little bit of an influx right now. I'm always kind of looking at what the market is. In the past, I've used Webinar Jam Studio quite a bit. Now, they're in a beta program with a new platform for their live version, so I'm kind of a little hesitant with that right now. I would recommend go to Webinar Rate as of right now for stability if you have the money. It's super stable. People use it. I have used Webinar Jam Studio a lot, though, and it's done well for me most of the time. That's for live webinars. And then Evergreen is their sister software, which is EverWebinar. Those are the ones that I'm using right now as of this recording.
John, thank you for letting us know which tools you use to run your webinar enterprise. And one thing I know about webinar enterprises is that having joint ventures, as you mentioned before, is a really great way to basically expand your audience and get more attendees for each of your webinars. So how do you suggest getting involved with, I'll start off with joint ventures, getting people to promote your webinar and then getting involved with joint webinars where you're doing the webinar with someone else?
Yeah, so this is another long topic, just like evergreen webinars. You know, there's a certain way to do this. You know, and it's a wonderful way to grow. I mean, joint venturing, partnering, you know, this is one way you can grow relatively risk-free from a financial standpoint, you know, much faster than if you're just blogging on your own site or trying to do your own thing. You know, we do need to involve other people. So I implore everybody who's listening to make a list of your top 10 people that you want to reach out to and start building a relationship with them. And I'm not talking about the biggest guru in your industry. I'm talking about people that are maybe a few notches ahead of where you are. But you want to start with building a friendship. I'm big on this. This is a philosophical point of view for me. There's marketing to me is as much philosophy as science. And I think that there's a good way to do it and a kind of a crappy way to do it. You know, and there's these people. So here's the point. I recommend you don't just lead with the ask. You actually look to build a relationship. So whoever you want to build a relationship with, people in your industry, peers, especially peers that are maybe a couple notches ahead of where you are or at least close to where you are, spend some time each week. I actually block off time every day, 5 days a week, to network with people I want to keep in touch with because it's that important. And so build a friendship first. How do you find joint venture webinars? You build friendships. And you build relationships with these people. Don't send somebody an email or an email template asking them, you know, to do a webinar with your new product and they've never even heard of you or they haven't heard from you in a long time. Like that's just, most people are busy. That's just a bit insulting in my opinion. So build friendships and people are going to want to collaborate with you. I mean, that's how I've grown. I've built real friendships with these people. They're still my friends. And if I ever have a launch or a webinar or something I wanted to do together or a summit, I mean, they'll gladly promote me because they like me, not because of the financial gain or not because of anything else. So one thing I would stay away from doing too much of is like webinar swaps. So people that are just doing like, I'll do a webinar for your audience if you do one for mine kind of thing. And people think that's a win-win, but it's really not. It's a win-win for the two people, but it's really a lose for the audiences who are getting hit over the head constantly with different promotions and affiliate offers for things that really may not even be in their best interest. So that's my opinion on joint ventures. There's no magic pill, and you really shouldn't look for one. It's really just about building relationships with people and through those friendships, you're gonna have and not just any friend, but like friends that, you know, people that you like that are heading in the same direction as you, that have audiences, that are busy people growing like you are. Those are the people you want to make friends with.
John, thank you for providing us with those nuggets of wisdom. I especially love how you mentioned that you want to build the relationship with people before you ask them to do the joint venture or to help you in any way, shape, or form. Because what I see is that too many people, they'll start the conversation with the ask because they just suddenly think of it at the moment. Oh, I've known this person for a while. I should ask and try and get this person to help me. But even if you don't see how you and this individual can like partner up later down the road, engage with that person because you never really know. And it's better to have that friendship built in when you need it than it is to start the relationship by saying, hey, can you promote this for me?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the worst thing to do is ask for something. You think of relationships like a bank account. You can't take from it at all if there's nothing deposited. And so that's how you should think of these things.
I'm going to remember that one. That was a good one.
It is.
So I know some people are listening to this right now. They're really excited about webinars because I did that intro. You've made hundreds of thousands of dollars for your clients through launches and webinars. And basically, there's a lot of potential for the profit you can make with webinars. But there are some people listening to this and they think, I have a small audience. Can I really capitalize on this? So for the people with small audiences, how can they still capitalize on webinars and generate that big profit?
Yeah, so we all start with nothing, right? None of us are born with an audience or a list or any of that. And so some people might be saying, well, I can't do webinars yet because I don't have a big audience, or I don't have a list yet, or any of those things. And again, when I teach on my webinars, when I talked about addressing objections in the presentation, this is one of them that I have to remove for people so that I can get them to see themselves hosting webinars. So when I started online in the marketing space, I started over in a new niche. I had no audience. What I did was I hosted two free webinars, just Q&A style webinars with a little bit of a presentation for a couple Facebook groups. I had gotten permission to present to those groups from the owners. And that was how I added my first 130 subscribers. So, you know, it was just people would opt in for the webinar. Well, then I turned around in a few weeks and I hosted my first offer webinar, my first sales webinar, to that monster list of 130 people. But I had 30 people show up and 10 people bought my new program on the webinar. So this was in 2014 now, so about 3 years ago. And that's what got me started down the road of actually selling on it. So you don't need a huge list to get started. You can use webinars to build your audience. They're one of the great list building tools that you can use, but because audience building tools is you know, gathering people to a webinar. And so you could, again, it can be an interview style webinar like I used to do. It could be a non-pitch webinar where you're not really offering anything. You're just doing a presentation for another person's audience. After you practiced your initial webinar, maybe you could do a pitch or an offer webinar to another person's audience. And all of those are going to build your audience at the same time, grow your business. So, you know, we all start at nothing. You know, don't expect to have a monster webinar right out the gate if you don't have a big audience. But they are a great tool for you to build your audience, build your email list, get visible in front of a new group of people, and to just day by day keep growing your business.
I absolutely love that story of how you were able to get 10 sales from that webinar when you just had 130 people on your list, because it shows that even though you have a small list, you can still get a lot of people on that list to take action. So webinars are still relevant, as John pointed out very accurately, regardless of your list size. So I'm very happy that you pointed that out to all the people who they were a little on the fence because they didn't know, like, do I have a big enough audience? So thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, don't expect to hit a home run or you know, have a massive flood on your first one. It's all about expectations and managing those too. But you got to get started. Otherwise, what's the old saying? You know, the best time to have gotten started was, you know, last year or a year ago. You know, the second best time to get started is now, right? And so we need to, we all have to start somewhere.
John, thank you for providing all of your great advice on webinars. For this portion of the podcast, we're going to shift gears a little bit into a few questions I'd like to ask guests towards the end of each episode, starting off with, what is one big challenge that you have faced and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, one big challenge. I was thinking about this. For me, I think one of the biggest challenges is just being comfortable with the visibility as you get, take more action. You know, I've done a lot of webinars and videos, and I'm not a huge guru by any means, but I'm growing and growing and growing. And for a kid that was pretty pretty, I was more of an introvert than an extrovert. I was a bit insecure at times. You know, one of my biggest fears was being seen like on TV or something like that as a kid growing up. And it just wasn't comfortable to me. So the thought now of me doing these webinars with, you know, hundreds of people on them and, you know, having thousands of people watch my videos every month, it's really surreal in the sense that you need to be comfortable being yourself. And that's a constant battle that needs to be renewed every single day. And I think there's a great quote out there. I don't remember who said it, but I think it's true in this case. And it's that heroes put their dreams above their fears. And we're always going to have fear. And I certainly still feel that at times. You know, I still get nervous for certain things. But we have to learn to act in spite of that fear if we're going to make it. And so I think for me, that was one of the biggest obstacles that I've overcome, was going from a kid who really had no confidence in his own thoughts and words to someone now who's becoming more of who he wants to be, being more comfortable with sharing my thoughts, my gifts with the world, and being okay with whatever judgment comes with that. That was a big step for me.
That is quite the transformation, because going from introvert to now doing hundreds of webinars and thousands of videos at this point is quite the transformation. And I know that throughout your journey, you've learned a lot of great lessons along the way. And I'm wondering, what is the best lesson that you have learned throughout your journey?
I think it's to get up fast. I think we all get down. We all do get down, right? We're all going to have failures. And I know that's the classic line with entrepreneurs, you know, fail forward. You know, you're going to have all these failures. And it's true. You are going to screw up a lot. And I still have programs that bomb, or they don't do as well as I like, or I get depressed because somebody, you know, I talked to a client that it didn't work out, or a potential customer or client, you know, and it's just, you know, it's this roller coaster. And it's really true, you know, especially in the beginning of your business when it, you know, let's say you're going 0 to 100,000 or even beyond that, it's, you know, if you don't have consistent lead generation, it's this roller coaster of like up and down income and life. And so I think you need to learn to get up fast. So I get down just like everybody else. I have days where I literally feel like depressed and just don't even want to move. I can barely type on my computer. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, for some reason, I wake up and have that kind of a day. And you just, I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes you just got to step back and take the day off or something like that. But the key is we can't stay down too long. All of us are going to get down. We're all going to feel badly at certain points. But if you stay down, then you lose, right? If you stay in the mud, you lose. You have to learn to stand up and don't take too long. Stand back up, brush it off, and then just keep going. And I think that's one of the big reasons that I've been able to keep going, is I don't mind looking like a fool for a little bit. I don't mind those things happening to me. I mean, I mind, but I don't let them stop me too long.
John, thank you for those excellent words of wisdom. I'm sure that they're going to motivate a lot of people to take more action. And I mean, sometimes it is hard to take action, but it's just something that is very necessary to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Consistent, persistence and grit are probably two of the most important characteristics if you really want to keep going.
So this upcoming question is something that I didn't originally ask at the beginning of my episodes, but my inner bookworm was just like screaming at me to ask this question to all my guests. So I'm wondering, what are three great books you can think of right now that can provide us with a lot of great value?
Yeah, I have an eclectic kind of library. I can give a few of them. I'm looking over at my books right now. Here's a few marketing related and some life related books that I feel are helpful for people. The first one is called The Daily Stoic, and it's by Ryan Holiday. And I don't know if you're familiar with Stoicism, but it's basically a lot of, you know, Roman and ancient folks and how they conducted their notes and philosophy on how to live life. And I really enjoy it. It's a short book. Well, it's a long book. It has, but it's a short excerpt every day. So there's 365 lessons that you learn, and you read one a day throughout the year. And just that little pearl of kind of philosophical motivation in the morning can really help. So I really enjoy that book, The Daily Stoic. Another one, it's that I feel a couple of really core marketing books that I think are really good are, one is called Getting Everything You Can Out of Everything You've Got, out of All You've Got, excuse me, Getting Everything You Can Out of All That You've Got. And that's by Jay Abraham, who really has a couple of great books out there on the fundamentals of marketing. I think people love to chase the flash or the latest gimmick or hack that's out there, and they ignore the boring stuff, the fundamentals of what it really takes to have success in marketing, because strategy is ultimately what gets you there. No one cares that you're doing a webinar. No one cares that you're hosting a podcast. No one cares that you're making a video. They want value. They want something from it. They have a problem that they want you to help ease, and you need to be able to do that. So that's a great book, Getting Everything You Can Out of Everything You Out of All You've Got. And then let's see, what else? One more, 80-20 Sales and Marketing is a great book. 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall is another good book on some of the core fundamentals of marketing and offer positioning and all the stuff that really truly makes a difference in your business.
John, thank you for taking the time to provide us with your book recommendations and all of your insights about webinars as well. To end this episode, I'm just going to give you a plug right now and let everyone know where they can find you on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check out more my blog, and my main kind of center is johnschumacher.com. That's John, J-O-N, Schumacher, S-C-H-U-M-A-C-H-E-R. And I'm sure we'll have this linked up in the show notes. If you want to learn more about my webinar training program, it's webinarmasteryacademy.com. Webinarmasteryacademy.com is my core teaching program. If people are really looking, if you're a course creator, a coach, a consultant, anyone who's an expert who wants to sell more of those one-to-many from the comforts of your own home using webinars, I have a step-by-step, click-by-click system over at the webinarmasteryacademy.com. So check that out if you're interested.
John, thank you for taking the time to be a guest here on Breakthrough Success.
I appreciate you thinking of me, Mark, and I enjoyed this very much. It's always a lot of fun.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. John provided some fantastic advice on generating a profit from webinars. If you are not utilizing webinars for your business, then I truly believe that you are missing out. John is committed to his work, and it's no wonder that he's got thousands of videos and hundreds of webinars done within 3 years. I love hearing stories like that because they inspire me to take more action, and I hope they inspire you to do the same. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markgubertie.com/E39 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgubertie.com/iTunes or markgubertie.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgubertie.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gubertie. For more insights, head on over to markgubertie.com.